All right, thank you everyone for sharing your testimonies this morning. Isn't it always good to hear what God is doing in our midst? You know, we get an example, something that we can place our faith in when we hear what God is doing in your life. And he's blessing us in all kinds of ways. So thank you again for sharing. When we share our testimonies, it's just like a preached word, isn't it? We could actually go home right now and say, we have been to church and heard the word. Praise the Lord. But nevertheless, the Lord does have a word for us this morning. He does have a word for us. And before we jump into that, let us pray over the word of God this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that as we have come together today, the assembly of the saints before you, the children of God, my Lord, that this is the place that we look forward to, Lord, to hear what you are saying to the church, to your children. So we thank you, Lord, for the word. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that there be clarity of thought and continuity of delivery of this word this morning. I trust, Lord, that there are nuggets in this word for each heart to hear. I pray, Father, that each heart that's present and each heart that may hear later will bring an expectancy to the word this morning, with a mind to extract from the word what it is that they need. And I thank you, Lord, that you will meet that expectation today. Father, in Jesus' name, we approach your word with reverence and with awe. And we say, have your way in the messenger and have your way in the receivers this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Glory to God. Can we say amen to that? Yes. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I have a question for us today. And the question is this. What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? And that we're going to focus our message today on answering that question. What's love got to do with it? I think it's a fair question, don't you? And it does deserve an answer. What's love got to do with it? I believe there are many in the world and in the church who are in some form asking this same question. What does love have to do with it? And in case you don't know, you may not know, see, depending on how old you are. In case you don't know, that question was made famous back in 1984. There was this extremely talented lady called Tina Turner. And she sang this song, and that song says, "What's love got to do?" Got to do with it. And it became famous. And hey, my perspective is it became famous because a whole lot of people wants to know, what does love have to do with it? In 1984, she was bold enough to make that song and sing that song. And she said, what's love? What's love got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? She said, well, what's love got to do with it? And then she finished that chorus up with, who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? See, that resonated with some folk back in that day, and that same message will resonate with some people in the world today, because we're still asking the question, what's love got to do with it? And well, in my research, I found out that Ja Rule, I guess that's how he says his name, Ja Rule and Ashanti in 2002, messed around and asked the question again. What's love, they said. Love. Well, in from 1984 to 2002, I imagine we're spelling the word different now. Because their title, What's Love, love was spelled L-U-V. But this, nevertheless, the question is still asked, what's love? Now, as I look through the lyrics of this song, of which I'm sure I will never do again, what I found was that love for Ja Rule and Ashanti in that game seemed to be defined by explicit physical attraction. That's the way it seemed to have been defined there, see. And so it still remains then the question, what's love got to do with it? I project to you that in order to get the truth on this matter, we're going to have to go to the one whom himself is love. See, when you want the right answer to a question, where do you go? You go to the source, don't you? And so therefore we find out in 1 John chapter 4 verse 8b that God is love. So now it would behoove us, children of God, to not pay a lot of attention to definitions of those like Tina Turner and Ja Rule, as talented as they may be, but what I'll say to you is, they don't have truth, see. We, however, the children of God, find truth in the word of God. 1 John chapter 4, 8b again says, for God is love. And so we're going to ask the word of God this morning to answer this question. What's love got to do with it? So here we go. We're going to answer the question this morning for everyone, because many seem to be seeking the answer. So let's ask it again. What's love got to do with it? Here's your answer. Everything. Absolutely everything. Now look. We're kind of speaking kind of broad here this morning, aren't we? The question itself was broad. What's love got to do with it? It can encompass a lot of different things. What's love got to do with it? Well, that's very broad. And so, therefore, the answer was broad. The answer, everything. Absolutely everything. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Go with me there. Now you know I'm going to read it out of the King James. But you feel free to read it out of whatever you choose. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And once again, let me remind us, the question that we're answering is, what does love have to do with it? And we said in summary, love has everything to do with everything. Now, if you'll go to verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, go to verse 14. And we're going to confirm this answer in the word. And it says this in the King James Version. It says, let all your things be done with charity. I'll say it again. Let all your things be done with charity. How many things? All of what? All of your things. All of my things. Let all of your and my and our things be done with charity. Now, the Passion Translation, you know, it breaks it down for us. It speaks more in the English vernacular in a contemporary time that we understand it a little better. And the Passion Translation, which is TPT, puts it this way. It says, let love and kindness be the motivation behind all that you do. You see? So what's love got to do with it? It seems to me that the Bible bears out that love has to do something with everything. Let love and kindness be the motivation behind all that you do. Now, I want to give you a little precaution here. Listen to me closely. A little precaution here with our contemporary translations of the Bible. They are good. Let me say that first. They are good to help us understand in the way that we talk today what the Bible is saying. However, there are times when the contemporary translations translate from the King James, it may lose or miss out on certain nuances that are very important. And so here, with this verse here, the Passion Translation says that let love and kindness be the motivation behind all that you do. But I have to bring out something here. What they left out was this. Love and kindness that you and I possess, love and kindness that you and I can conjure up within ourselves is not what this verse is talking about. It doesn't cover it all. As a matter of fact, if we misinterpret it, we'll totally miss the whole understanding of what it means when King James, let all your things be done with charity, could totally miss it. So then let's go to the Amplified Classic. Let's go there. Let's see what Amplified Classic has to say about it. Because what I'll tell you is the Amplified Classic hits it on the nail. Says this, let everything you do be done in love. That is, true love to God and man, watch this, as inspired by God's love for us. See, again, the possible potential problem with the Passion Translation saying let love and kindness be the motivation behind all that you do, we could interpret that to exclude the inspiration of God's love for us. And we could translate that to mean that I now must conjure up love and kindness inside of me to be able to make myself, motivate myself to do all I do in love. See, that Passion Translation leaving out the most important part is it must be inspired by God's love for us. Do we get that this morning? The question, what does love have to do with it? Well, we find it has to do everything with it. Now, I want to tell you something here. This instruction, let all things be done with charity. This instruction is instruction for Christian living. See, right here in the book of Corinthians, in this section of the book is where the Holy Spirit of God is instructing Christians throughout all generations in the way in which we are to live. And it's telling us, here's your instruction, man and woman of God, children of God, Christians, believers in Christ, born again. Here's your instruction for Christian living. Let everything you do be done by the motivation of the love you have received from God Himself. Do we understand that? So what does then love have to do with it? Let me say another thing here too while we're here. Let's clarify this while we're here. See, this love that's inspired by God is for the children of God. We have learned as we studied the book of John, the Gospel of John, that the Holy Spirit cannot be seen, nor understood, nor received of the world. Isn't that right? And so, therefore, this instruction that's been given to us Christians, how we live, is not an instruction that the world could follow out. Unbelievers, they will not be able to participate or nor execute this love inspired by God to motivate all that they do. And why is that? Because they cannot. See, it's not that they wouldn't want to, but they cannot. Let us remember in John chapter 16, where it's explaining to us the work of the Holy Spirit is very clear. It lets us know very clear. And also Jesus talking to his disciples, saying that the world will not be able to see nor receive the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. And so we know that Romans 5:5 tells us that it is by the Holy Spirit that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. So we are possessors. We have in us, with us, at our disposal to be able to execute in all things the love of God. However, folks that are not children may misinterpret love as a secondhand emotion, something that's physical, something that wreaks more havoc than it does blessings. Now, I'm not judged. I don't know if Tina Turner and Ja Rule or Shante, are they children of God? Are they children of God and haven't grown up in this understanding? It's possible. That's very possible. But they tell me to judge a tree by the fruit. That's what they tell me. But here again, I don't know whether or not they're believers born again. So I'm not disparaging them. By no means am I putting them down, neither am I judging them. What I am doing here is letting us know that we should not at any time expect unbelievers and those in the world to be able to come up with a solution about love. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? But yet and still, for us now to see ourselves as those walking around in the earth with the answer. What does love have to do with it? Everything. Absolutely everything. Now, the King James Version, let's go back to that. It says in verse 14, let all things be done with charity. Say that with me. Let all things be done with charity. Yes, it uses the term charity. And I like to leave it there because here, once again, to make sure that we catch every nuance of every part of every position that this verse is giving to us today that we can gather. So, charity, let all your things be done with charity. Charity. Charity is the word that was translated from the Greek word agape. We know that word, don't we? Believers, We've heard about agape, haven't we? We have heard that the God kind of love is called agape. And what is the definition that we know very well about agape love? It is unconditional love. Isn't that right? We could all, or we could say that. We've been able to say that since we were kids, some of us. God's kind of love, agape, is unconditional love. Or, let's put that another way. It is love without conditions or requirements. That's a definition of agape love. Isn't that right? It is love without conditions or requirements. Because, watch this, God decided, he made a decision to love us. God's unconditional love is his decision to love us. It is not based on our worth. Just a few months ago, when we were looking out, searching out in the Word of God, how God treats those whom he loves, we went back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we found out there it was very clear that God said to the Israelites, I chose you. You didn't choose me. And I didn't choose you because you were going to make me some great God. No, I didn't choose you because you were going to make me look good. I chose you, however, because you were the least of them all. See, he chose us not based on any worth that we have. He simply made a decision that I love you. And guess what? He decided to love us, and he will not change his mind. Oh, this definition right here. This is the love of God that we're talking about. It is unconditional love. Well, what do you mean by that? It's love without conditions or requirements. And how is that? Because God decided. Because he made a decision. Because God chose to love us. He chose to love us, and he will not change his mind. Not based on our worth. He won't change his mind based on our actions. He will not change his mind based on our status. He will not change his mind about loving us. That is God's love called agape. And we find out a thing about this agape love, this love that God is, this love that God has given to us, the love that God has shared abroad in our hearts. We found out that it's governed by, run by grace and mercy. Didn't we? We found that out. Grace and mercy. Well, what is that? What is mercy? Mercy is when we do not receive what we deserve. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. In the condition of sin, we died. We were separated from God. Why? Because that was the payment for sin. But then when we continue on past the semicolon there, we find out that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, however, is eternal life. See, we don't get what we deserve. But watch this. Grace now comes and couples in with mercy, and we don't get what we deserve, but it's a step better than that. See, God in his agape love, unconditional for us, he also gives us what we do not deserve. See, we don't get what we deserve, but we do get what we do not deserve. And what is that? What is it that we get that we do not deserve? Oh, we read it in Psalms 103 this morning, didn't we? Oh, bless the Lord, all my soul, And all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are those benefits? Oh, he's forgiven all my sins, and he's healed all my diseases, and he's increased me beyond measure, and he's blessed my family. See, he's put in my mouth the desires and things that I desired and need, and it makes my youth be renewed like the eagle. See, we get what we do not deserve. That's God's love this morning. Oh, see, you may be sitting here today and you may be saying, oh, preacher, I heard that before. Oh, come on, preacher. Now you're preaching milk to me. I need some meat. Well, I want to tell you something this morning. You can't get meatier than God's love. There is no meat greater than. There is no protein that's higher than knowing and understanding and receiving the agape love of God. It is the very foundation of the gospel. It is the very foundation on which we live and exist. It is the very foundation of all we believe and hope for. This is the meat. And so I encourage you this morning, don't turn your ears off on this. Yes, to degrees in which we have matured in the Lord, we are able to execute and operate and receive this agape love. But I'll tell you something, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And you may have heard this before, but I believe the Holy Spirit of God has dropped this message on us again today, that we may hear it again today, that our faith may grow in this area. Let me repeat this. God's love, agape, is the unconditional love of God, which means he gives to us his love without conditions or requirements. And why is that? Because God chose. Because he made a decision to love us, not based on our worth. And he will not change his mind. And in his love, we receive continually the abundance of his mercy, those things that we deserve, we don't get. And his grace, those things we get, but we don't deserve. Glory to God. Now that's the what. What's love got to do with it? We said everything is the answer. And now we have just defined what the answer is. That's the what. What is agape? That's it. Did you get it? I'm going to give it to you again. It's unconditional love. And that means love without conditions or requirements. And why is that? Because God decided to love us, not based on our worth. And his love is filled with mercy and grace. Now, what does it look like? How does God do love? You know, as we are walking this out and learning this thing and growing up spiritually, maturing in the love of God, there's some things we need to know. Well, how does God do love then? Well, this is the answer here. Sacrificially, God does love. He does it sacrificially. Yeah, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. You don't have to go there. That's for your notes. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 tells us this. But God demonstrates. See, it's a verb. His action. His action in demonstrating. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, that's what love looks like. While we were still sinners, remember we just talk about this mercy that, you know, that we don't get what we deserve. We were the ones that were supposed to die. But in grace, we do get what we don't deserve. And his grace was, we got his son. The very person of the Godhead was sacrificed for you and I, see. The very second person of the Godhead came down to the earth for you and me, for because why? There was this agape. And if you didn't know before now your worth, if you didn't understand before right now, you know, what am I worth? What am I worth? Am I, you know, just a, am I just a, and you fill in the blank, am I just a, you fill in the blanks? Well, I'll tell you this, to God, you are worth his best. Because he gave his best so that he can now be connected to you. That's what you are worth. Brother, sister, child of God, that's what you are worth to God. He gave his best, see, for us. Glory to God. So sacrificially is how God does love. He gave up his Godhead. He gave up his deity. He placed himself in a body. He called himself Jesus. And then begot the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, very unique, you see. Yeah, for you and for me. How dare you think of yourself less than? How dare we allow anyone to tell us nor demonstrate to us that we're less than, inferior to anyone or anything? How dare, when God has given his very best for you and I, because we are worth that to him. Oh, come on, chew on that for a minute. Chew on that for a minute. Glory to God. And so, what does God's love look like? It's sacrificial. He took from himself to give to us. And now, God, there's another aspect here about this agape love that we don't talk about a lot, but let's take a look at it today, because we need to see that God has shown his love to us by giving to us what we needed, even if it was not what we wanted. Did you hear me? See, his love is shown towards us by giving us what we need, even when it is not what we want. I have plenty of testimony to that. How about you? I know you do too. I'm sure you do. Remember that thing or that one, the something or the someone you just had to have? Remember that job you just had to have? Remember that man or that woman you just know God said, this is my, you just had to have that one, but yet and still in all your trying and all your trying to make it happen, it did not happen. It could not happen. Everywhere you turn, there was a wall in front of you that stopped you from acquiring that something or that someone. I call it God's gift of no. That's what I call it. That's God's gift of no. See, God gives to us something, things that we need, even if it's not what we want. See, he'll block that thing that we want so that we can get to the thing that we need. Anybody? Can you attest to that? Now watch this. Yeah, here it is. This God's gift of no. Now how about this? Here's another aspect of how God demonstrates his love towards us. This is another action. What does God's love look like? How does God do love? Well, it's like this. He also gives us what we need, even though we didn't know we needed it. He'll give us what we need, even though we didn't need it. And he will give us what we need, even if we didn't know we needed it. And since we didn't know we needed it, we didn't ask for it. Now I want you to see this the way I was able to see this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 16. Go there with me. Go there with me. I want you to put your eyes on this one. See, go there with me. Right now, we're talking about how does God do love? As we have asked the question this morning, what's love got to do with it? We found out, we figured out, we better go ahead and answer that question for those who are seeking the answers. Amen? All right, John chapter 3, 16. Right here is a demonstration of how God shows his love sacrificially. Well, God shows his love by giving us something that we didn't want, and how God shows his love by giving us something we needed but didn't know we needed. Watch this. Verse 16. For God so loved the world. Here's a little nugget. Let me drop this on you. Usually in the Bible, in the King James, when the Bible uses the word for, F-O-R, it usually means because. And so, when we look at John 3:16 and we say, because God so loved the world, he did something. We talked about this. He sacrificially gave his only begotten son. See, but guess what? The world didn't ask for God's son, did? Did you and I? We didn't even know that we needed his son, did we? See, God's love has demonstrated again to us here in John 3:16, which we know very familiar with this passage of scripture right here. It demonstrates to us that God, because of his love for us, he gave us something, one, we didn't ask for, we didn't desire it, and neither did we know we needed it. But he gave it. And then he gave us the opportunity to receive him. Isn't that right? That's God's love for us. Glory to God. Now let's make sure. Let's make sure we go one step further. On what does God's love look like now? How does God do love for us? It's like this. We said sacrificially, he gives love. And we said he's the God of the gift of no when we don't get what we wanted, but we didn't need it. But he's also the God with the gift of you didn't ask for, but he knew you needed it, so he gave it to you. But he's also this God. He gives good gifts. See, that's how he demonstrates again his love for us. He gives good gifts. James chapter 1, the Apostle James, Jesus' brother. Chapter 1, verse 17, the Holy Spirit said to the people back then, and as translated to the people of today, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. See? Oh, he gives good gifts. And we found out that he gives good gifts bountifully. Abundantly, he gives good gifts. In Psalms 103, verse 5, in the NIV version, he says, he satisfies your desires with good things. Good gifts that we desire. So again, let's make sure we got this. We said that the answer to the question, what does love have to do with it? That the answer was everything, absolutely everything. Love has to do something with everything. And we found it in the word of God, 1 Corinthians 16:14, that said, let all your things be done with charity. And that charity, we know, is God's kind of love. It's God's love. And God's love is agape love. That love that is unconditional. That love without conditions or requirements. He loves you anyway. That love that God chose to pour out on us. He chose us. See, he decided he wanted to love us. It wasn't based on anything that could change his mind. See, it wasn't our work. He just chose to love us. Then he pours on us his mercy. and his grace, then what does it look like? It looks sacrificial is what it looks like. It looks like he gave up his best for us. And then it looks like this. He's so gracious, he doesn't give us all the time what we ask for. And he's so gracious, he also gives us the things we didn't know to ask for. Oh, but wait now. This is the part we really like. He's also gracious that he gives good gifts to us that we desire. Oh, that's what it is. That's God's love. Blessed be the name of God. Now, I'm going to close with this. Oh, we have a lot more to cover, see. Because when you're talking about the love of God, that is the very foundation of everything we do. It is to be Christians. The instruction of Christian living said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14 says, let all that you do, let all that I do be motivated by God's love. So here's the concern. Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to turn there if you can. Ephesians chapter 3, because there's a concern here. There's a concern that we need to address this morning. It's the same concern that the Apostle Paul addressed with the Ephesians church. See, it's important for us to address this concern this morning as we're talking about the love of God that we have received when we believed in Jesus, when the Holy Spirit took residence inside of us. He brought with him this agape love, and now it's inside of us and we possess this love. So we're not trying to get God's love. We already have God's love inside of us. We did say this, that each one of us are standing at a different level of maturity whereby we are able to operate in, to exercise, to execute, to receive this love. And so there's a concern here. Let's find out what that is, that concern. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 14 through 19. I'm closing with this, so keep your ears tuned into this. I'm going to let you go in just a minute. I'm closing with this, Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 19. The Apostle Paul says to church back then, the Holy Spirit of which we have obtained says this to us today. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is praying, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he, the Father, would grant you, according to the riches of he, the Father's glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's one. The prayer is that we be strengthened with might by his Spirit, of whom we have received in the inner man. That's one. Two, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's two. That the Jesus Christ that we believe in, that we now abide in, that we now dwell in, that it be by faith. And why? Why these two? Why is the prayer for that's being strengthened in the inner man, and that by faith we grab a hold of the Christ that dwells in us? Because of this, because we have already been rooted and grounded in love. Do you see that? It says that ye being rooted and grounded in love, that's past tense. You're already rooted and grounded in love, he says. But you that have been rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height of what? To know the love of Christ. See, here's the concern here. See, let me take you back in history. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians church, because the Ephesians church was having an identity crisis. They were having an identity crisis. What was that identity crisis? See, they were Gentile Christians, and they believed in their hearts, and they believed because they had heard, and they believed because of circumstances and situations that they were second-rate Christians to the Jewish Christians over in Jerusalem. See, they were having an identity crisis. They didn't think they were equal to the Jewish Christians. They weren't as good as, not the Jewish Christians over there in Jerusalem. See, they weren't as much as child of God as they were. You know, inferiority, see, was still seeping in their hearts, and they didn't see themselves as the children of God that the Jews were over in Jerusalem. So they're having an identity crisis. And so the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Paul, calls them this name, the whole family. In verse 15, he says, the whole family. And then in verse 18, he addresses them like this, with all the saints. And his prayer was this, that you already rooted and grounded in love. And the Holy Spirit says to us today, you already rooted and grounded in love, that you may know, that you may comprehend, that you may have knowledge of and acknowledge, that you may accept the love of Christ totally and completely as belonging to you. See, and the Holy Spirit says that to us today, see, because maybe we don't have the Jewish Christians over there in Jerusalem telling us you can't really be a Christian. You can't really, we're not going to share our God with you, see. This covenant is not, we don't have that. But we do, however, have an onslaught of continual things coming at us wanting to identify who we are. One, we have our own flesh who wants to keep reminding us that there was a way that we would handle this thing. See, we have that. And then, of course, we have the media, and then we have the government, and we have the folk down at the job, and we have our circumstances and situations that don't seem to line up with the promises of God that are continually telling us, you must be a second-rate Christian. You must be. Something must be wrong with your faith, or something, you didn't get it all, that you have to continue to try to attain this thing because you don't have it all yet. See, I want to tell you this morning, that's a lie. When we receive Jesus Christ, we received it all. So, let us be solid and firm in our identity. Where? In Jesus Christ. We are in the Son of God because we believed in the Son of God. We said yes to God's gift of love, and now we have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that means everything the King of the Kingdom has, who is our Father, we have it now and we have it today. Doesn't matter what it looks like and what they tell you. See, I want to give you this analogy. See, let's say we were rich kids. Let's say we grew up in a rich family, see. And so it would be our understanding. We would have already comprehended. We would have a knowing deep down on the inside of us that I am rich. Why? Because I belong to this rich family. Even though as a child, I don't have a dime. Don't have not one dime. No, I don't have a dime. Hey, but yet and still, though I belong to this family, so therefore what the Father has belongs to me. Isn't that right? In the natural, we can see it in the natural. So let us please go with me in the spirit, in the spiritual realm. God calls us his children. So therefore, everything the Father has for our plan and purpose in this life, we already have it. Just because it may not be in your hands doesn't mean you don't have access to it. Glory to God. It doesn't matter what your bank account says, your daddy is rich. Therefore, child, so are you. So are you. And so we ask. And so we depend. And so we rest in that finished work, and we say to the Father, I know you got this. You gonna handle this. See, because we're not trying to get God's love. We already have it. And he's already our Father. And everything he has for our plan and purpose already belongs to us. Yes. The doctor said, yes, he did. And so what do we do with that? The same thing we should do when the bullies try to chase us home from school. We run to daddy and we say, daddy. Oh, my Lord. You know anybody call him like that? Daddy. See, they said that this sickness is trying to attach itself to me, but I know though, in my house over here where I belong, the Lord Jesus Christ already paid the penalty for sickness and disease. It doesn't belong to me. Glory to God. So we have access through our Lord Jesus Christ to the Father, and everything that he has laid up for our plan and purpose that he has for our lives. And when we can know that, just like a child would know who's living at home, who's now grown up in high school, don't want to ride the school bus anymore, goes to daddy and say, daddy, I need a car, because I don't want to drive, you know, get on the bus and go to school, but I don't want just any car, daddy. See? Oh, my Lord. What gives you the confidence to go to daddy and ask him for a Lamborghini? What gives you the confidence of going to daddy and asking him for that souped up vehicle that's got all the sounds in it and the big tires on it, and you 16. What gives you the confidence? Because you know where you belong. You know who your daddy is. What gives us the confidence, children of God, to go to our daddy and say, daddy, it's mine. I need this, or I want this. Daddy, it's mine. Now, so we know it. Let us acknowledge it every day, day by day, moment by moment, as we have received now this love of Christ totally and completely, this love of God completely, as we're now standing steadfast in knowing it is a part of who I am because I am a child of God. Then we've received it, and now we can operate in it. We can express it, and now we can execute it. The fullness of God belongs to us. The fullness of God. Glory to God. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. With all the fullness of God. And see, brothers and sisters, this is what I want to tell you this morning. That's what children do. That's what children do. Children don't need money for lunch. Daddy rich, and you go to school and beg for money. That's not what children do. Come on, I took a natural. You translate that in the spirit in your own life. That's not what children do. No, not what children do. No, no. Children don't need friends. And don't need those friends. You know, the ones that take you down the wrong path. See, daddy will come along and say, don't hang around them. No, but let me help you go get some friends that you really need. See, children. That's what children have with the father. See, that's what children do. So I ask you this question this morning, Safe Refuge Ministries. Do you have an identity crisis? Do you? Do you know who you are? Do you? And therefore, as we're growing up in this thing, and I can't apologize about continuing to preach this thing of identity. I can't apologize for it. It's the message that God has given to me and given to this church. The whole body of Christ, for the most part, is having an identity crisis. We get to hear often of what to do. But how often do we get to know and to hear so that we can get it deep down inside of us who we are? There's an identity crisis going on in the church when we would, if we can ask this question, what's love got to do with it? There's an identity crisis going on. See, glory to God. Glory to God. Now, you may be listening to me this morning, and by the word that was preached today, you say, my identity is not child of God, but I want it to be. You may be saying right now, I like all of what I heard, and is that what I get if I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, if I receive the gift of God's love? Is that what I get? I want that. See, you may be saying that this morning, and if that's what you're saying, then I'm saying to you, you certainly can have it. Certainly. Oh, most definitely. Certainly. And you are able to receive that the same way we did. We heard the gospel preached just like you just did. And we believed on what we heard just like you just did. And there was something that stirred on the inside of us that says, oh, I must turn my life over to Jesus Christ. And if that's you, you only have to ask him. And so I'm going to lead you in this prayer. But from your heart, out of your own mouth, you say it. You don't have to shout it, but say it loud enough so your own ears can hear it. Say this prayer. Lord, I heard your word. And I heard about your love. I've been looking for that kind of love. And I've tried to find it in all types of places. But I have not. But I believe this morning that you are the love I've been searching for. So Jesus, come into my heart, and come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And Jesus, I commit to learning your way. Thank you for hearing my prayer and saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. If you said that prayer this morning, if you said those words and you believed it in your heart, I have news for you. You are a child of God right now. And everything I talked about this morning and so much more already belong to you. Already. God's love is yours. That sacrificial love that gives you good gifts, but that doesn't allow you to get those things that are bad for you. That love is all yours right now. But you, just like I, we have to learn. We have to grow up in it. You're a newborn baby in the spirit. And so, I have to tell you this. Connect to a church, a local church, where you will learn about your new life in Christ. You will learn that the old things are gone. Now you're all brand new. And how do you operate and obtain and access your brand new? You must learn that. And you can learn that in church. So get connected to a local church where they'll teach you about the love of God. They'll teach you how to walk your new Christian life. They'll teach you how to do that. Now, if you don't have that wherever you are, you can reach out to us. And we'll be glad to help you. You can call or text us at 240-619-8828. Again, that's 240-619-8828. Or you could email us at administration, yes, it is spelled all the way out, administration@saferefugeministries.com. Yes, let me say that again. administration@saferefugeministries.org. That's it. All right, you can call or text us or email us, and we'll be happy. We will be delighted to help you in your new life. Praise God. Praise God, saints, this morning. Hallelujah. Can you say this with me? Oh, come on. Unmute yourself. Let's put our voices together. Say this with me. I am a member of the whole family.
I am a member of the whole family.
In heaven and earth.
In heaven and earth.
Yes, yes. Say this. I know the love of Christ.
I know the love of Christ.
Oh, I love it. Can you say this? I am filled with all the fullness of God.
I am filled with all the fullness of God.
Yes, glory to God. Praise his name. Praise his name. I trust that you were able to extract out of the word of God today what you needed. Praise the Lord. Oh, bless his name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, we thank you. All right. Announcement.
Can I give the... Go ahead.
Announcement. Go ahead. This morning. Wednesday, we'll be online at 7 p.m. as always. Online on Wednesday. Now, you will find, this is new this year, I've been promising, we're here. You will find the sermon that I preached today on the website by tonight. It will be there. Oh, wow. So you go to saferefugeministries.org and go to the sermon page, and you will see it there. It's called What's Love Got to Do With It. You'll find it in some of the other messages we preached. So therefore, if you didn't get everything in your notes, you need to hear it again. It will be there for you to access online. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, team, I want to thank you, everyone. Congratulate everyone that reached out to our brother Brandon. In whatever way you reached out to our brother Brandon, thank you so much that we are not just hearers of the word, but we are doers also. Oh, yeah. We're going to walk. We're going to carry each other's burdens, and we're going to encourage each one daily. Isn't that right? We're going to do that by calls, by texting, by reaching out, by prayers, by intercession, by showing up and supporting. So thank you all. Yesterday we showed up in good number at our brother Brandon's mom's memorial service. That was it was beautiful. And there were six of us, six of the team, and we showed up there on the behalf of Safe Refuge Ministries, and we were able to serve a bit. You know, they handled mostly everything. I mean, they handled it, right? But, you know, we were able to slip in there somewhere, you know, to help a bit and to be a blessing. As I mentioned in the text, we did sow a seed as well to help financially because Brother Brandon's our brother. Yeah, we helping. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All right, then. So, everyone, that's all I have. So let's look to the Lord to be dismissed this morning. Our Father, which art in heaven, you are not a Father that is distant from us. And we're grateful. Lord, we thank you that you know what we need and you provide it. And whatever it was in this message, Lord, that we need, we thank you that as it has been deposited in the soil of our hearts, that it will grow up into a tree of righteousness, one that you have planted. We thank you, Lord, that we grow up step by step, moment by moment, experience by experience, and being able to receive the fullness of your love and being and as receiving it, Lord, we're able to now spill it out all over the world. Father, today, as you send us out to our respective places in the world, we go out with the answer of what does love have to do with it. So let us stand boldly, Lord, in the identity in which we have been given to be the demonstration of the unconditional love of God. And we thank you, Lord, that in the days to come, you will teach us and show us in your word that we be precise in how we execute your love. We thank you for our gathering today, Lord. Thank you for all that you have poured on us, in us, or you've touched us today. Thank you for all that you have done in our time of worship this morning as well. Thank you for receiving our gifts, our financial gifts, Lord, as well today. In Jesus' name, we say this and we pray. We receive it all. In Jesus' most wonderful name. Now, people of God, are you ready? Children of God, are you ready? Hallelujah. Well, here's the thing for us to know. I love you. But Jesus, woo, he loves you so much more. So have a good day today. Eat plenty of good food. Enjoy yourself wherever you are. Relax if you can. And let us stand and receive the love of God so that we can spill it out all over the world. Amen. Love you all. See you Wednesday.